Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Chris Roebling, Lee Newcomb, Tea Party activist Tim Krolitis, Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine, and our program tonight coming to you from our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, America's only National Radio Hall of Fame gallery on State Street, that great street in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, our email address is btb@museum.tv. And if you'd like to watch on the World Wide Web, we can go www.beyondthebeltway.com, where we archive all of our shows in case you miss a show any week. I mentioned that Mike DeWine, the Attorney General, former U.S. Senator from Ohio, will join us in this first hour of our broadcast. He is supporting Rick Santorum for president in the upcoming primaries in Ohio a week from Tuesday. We'll also be hearing from Dave Johnson. He is the Romney spokesman, or one of the Romney cheerleaders in Ohio. And also we'll hear from Doug Price. He is a Gingrich supporter. Again, we'll hear them in the second hour of our broadcast this evening as we take a look at what's happening, trying to leapfrog, get ahead of the game. And by the way, if you are regular listeners to the broadcast, you know that last week I said that our program tonight would be coming from Youngstown, Ohio. But again, I got snowed in. I couldn't get out to get the plane in time. So I am back here in Chicago. But again, through the magic of radio, we'll hear a political insight from some of the political leaders in the Buckeye State before the program goes off the air this evening. Before we get into the specifics of politics and all the things that are being said this week, I want to get everybody an opportunity to respond to, again, the tragic killing of two U.S. officers. They were shot in the back of the head while they were at work inside the Interior Ministry in Afghanistan. This has led to obviously great outrage. There is outrage in the streets because of the burning of the Quran and just all kinds of problems, which raises the question of whether or not, as has been suggested, that maybe there has been some progress in Afghanistan. There's been issues of whether or not the president should have apologized for the burning of the Quran. The Republican candidates all uniformly say that is a sign of weakness. So I want to spend a little time talking about a very serious issue, obviously, the murder of two U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Chris Roebling, we're all Republicans around the table this evening. Chris Roebling, your response to what signal does this send to you above and beyond Republican partisan politics? What signal does this send to you?
Well, it sends a signal of disarray in U.S. foreign policy and military policy, because this was the war Barack Obama campaigned for. He was the chairman of the Central Asia Subcommittee of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He never held a hearing on Afghanistan, but when he started running for president, he said, Afghanistan is where we've got to make a stand. We're going to do it right.
It's the just war. That was
and
the just war.
This was the just war, and he was going to get this right because he was so smart, et cetera. And we're now looking at, 3.5 years on, I would say a rapid and very troubling and disastrous and very sad and tragic disintegration of that policy.
Lee Newcomb also joins us, recorder of McLean County. That's in central Illinois.
Yes.
Your response to the same question.
It shows a foreign policy that I think is tragically askew, because the type of motivations of people in that part of the world are very much based upon power. And when you are perceived to be weak, they will attack. And what he's doing is inviting further attacks upon our people there and our people here.
How does an apology for a misfortunate incident, how does that show weakness in your view?
It shows weakness from the people I've talked to who are particular experts in that area of the world and the mindset there, that shows weakness in our character of who we are as people, because we are not coming from a position of power and strength, but we are instead coming as if we are on our knees. We are on our knees apologizing for a very small thing. There are slights against the Christian religion that are made constantly everywhere, and I don't see the Obama administration apologizing at all for that, but certainly for this very minor incident they are.
Tim Krolitis is our card-carrying Tea Party guy. The burning of the Quran, Lee called that a minor incident. Is that a minor incident?
No, I think anytime something like that occurs, it's important to look at But I do believe the same people that are going out of their way to apologize are actually the same people that encourage, you know, an art form in our country that would allow a crucifix to be in urine and everything else. So I really can't understand the.
Explain to me, how does that come back to the president?
Well, it comes
back.
We're
talking about the president,
right.
The leader of the free world,
right.
Basically apologizing for the misfortunate incident that led to the burning of the Quran,
right.
Which people think was a mistake. I don't think anybody thought it was U.S. policy
correct.
That.
Well, it's frustrating to look from an activist side, and I'm talking from an activist side, to see, again, when I'm talking about the president, somebody that'll defend abuses on, you know, for example, Christianity, but at the same time be overly sensitive to some of the things that are happening when it comes to the Muslim faith or something that would happen with the Quran.
Chris. I would just say the Quran holds an unusual for Christians. The Quran holds an unusual place in the mind of Islam, and Barack Obama ran on sensitivity to Islam and understanding, and he said that his outreach to Islam would bring benefits to the United States of America. This should never have happened. He's responsible for it happening. I wouldn't say it's his Abu Ghraib, but it's an act of profound insensitivity because the Quran is very special in Islam. It's the revealed word of God, and the very words are considered to be, I wouldn't say God, but like God. And so this should never have happened, and he's the one who said he would not have anything like this happen, and now it's happened, and he's in this weak position that he describes.
At the foundation of the Obama policy is the belief, which is why he wants to pull troops out, is that the training of the Afghan army, the police, the local forces was going to be to a certain point that stability could return to the nation and there wouldn't be this constant violence. In this particular case with the two U.S. officers that were killed, they were shot in the back of the head in the Interior Ministry.
Well, and the officers that were killed just a few months ago were in the middle of training Afghan officers in their Air Force.
Right.
Same thing.
And this the person who has been identified as the leading suspect for having shot these two American officers may well have been trained by them. So I think the entire prospect, the entire activity of the Obama administration ramping up the domestic capabilities of the Afghan so-called government are brought into question.
The Taliban has claimed responsibility for this, by the way, and they said they did it in retaliation to the Muslim burning of the Quran.
Well, this goes even further, Chris. In what you said a few moments ago, and you know, Chris and I are longtime friends and agree on just about everything I'm aware of. But even in your own language, you just used about, you know, this the high holy point of the Quran,
right.
which is fine. I understand that in the Muslim mind. However. In our own Western cultures, which are based in the Christian religion,
right.
Religious tolerance, I called it a minor incident, Bruce, and you kind of question that. It truly is an incredibly minor incident to have happened, to have created this kind of outrage, and yet this is common for the Muslim mind.
Well, I think it speaks to what the Taliban is itching to do and what we already see on the streets of Baghdad.
Well, the ordinary Muslim, not just the Taliban.
We have to pause. 1-800-723-8029, how to weigh in on that. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Rick Santorum and some things he had to say about the president, including calling him a snob. Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. I want to ask Chris Roblin a question. Chris, you occasionally, in the course of being a longtime operative within the Republican Party, you spend your time occasionally with moderate Republicans, right?
Sure.
Clubs. My question would be is when issues of the Quran or whether or not the president should have apologized or not, and all of the Republican candidates this past week said that he shouldn't have done that.
Right.
How does that play with moderate Republicans? Do they see the president's apology as a courteous thing for any president to do, or do they see it as a nefarious, stupid thing to do, as our other guests tonight?
I think it's not necessarily for me to speak for any Republicans except for myself, but I would say that the sense that I get is that this is an event, that this rapid disintegration of our situation in Afghanistan speaks to the underlying weakness of Obama's foreign and military policy. And I think the quick apology only confirms that sense of weakness. I don't think that there is much disagreement in the Republican worldview until you get over to the sort of 8 to 12% that connect up with Ron Paul. Apart from that group, the another 90%, give or take, is pretty much solidified in its critique of Barack Obama's foreign policy, security, and military policy. So I think they see it as another sign of someone who is in well over his head.
Now, something else that, again, may play differently with the various factions of Republicanism, all of which are represented here to some extent, and that was something that Rick Santorum said this past week in Troy, Michigan. He said, quote, President Obama once said he wants everybody in America to go to college. What a snob. There are good, decent men and women who go out and work hard every day and put their skills to test that aren't taught by some liberal college professor that tries to indoctrinate them, end of quote. Rick Santorum.
Amen.
Now, the national news media has jumped on that as anti-elitism, but you say amen.
I'm glad he said it, yeah. There is an elitist attitude that you've got to be a college graduate to be, you know, smart or intelligent or productive, and that's not true. This country is built upon a great tradition of trades and business people who don't have a college education. In my own county, I know some tremendously successful, highly respected people that are not college graduates. Of course, there are the famous ones, you know, the Bill Gates and the and people like that. But there are tremendous people in America, successful everywhere, who are not college graduates. You don't need to be.
But back to you, Chris, speaking again for what the moderates might be thinking about. That's not something that you'd ever hear Mitt Romney say, I don't think.
No.
Well, we should hear Mitt Romney say that. I mean, I think Republicans, you know, I believe the Republican Party speaks to people in every precinct of the country. And I believe it's got something to say to everybody. And I think when you look at the jobs, we had a report in the Chicago Tribune just the last couple of days about the gross failure of the community college system writ large to prepare people for very high-paying jobs in the economy. You want manufacturing in the United States, teach people to be a machinist. If people become machinists, they're going to be very well paid. People who repair cars, people who can build things.
But from since we're dealing a little bit with process tonight in the primary, instinctively, Rick Santorum appears to be throwing out consistently the red meat to the masses, and that's one of the reasons why he's surging.
Although I don't think that's red meat.
I think the media has turned that into red meat.
When I say red meat, anything that he says, and he has the ability to say it because he really believes it, virtually anything that he says gets jumped on by the national news media.
Subject to characterization.
Right. Subject to their characterization, which only infuriates his base.
Right.
And I think expands his base.
Right.
So the media is doing a favor by constantly picking on him. But what I'm saying is the other thing that's happening is he is moving up in the polls, although the recent polls suggest that maybe Romney may hold on in Michigan and Arizona. But he is playing that card, right. And that's revving up the blue-collar base, part of his base.
And that's what he's trying to do.
And I think what's happening is he's willing to step out, you know, when Barack Obama ran 3 years ago, it was basically, you know, everybody was tiptoeing around what they could and couldn't say. And this guy probably is looking here saying, you know what, a lot needs to be said, and I'm going to say it. And you know what it does? It reveals the media.
Can Romney say this? Well, could Romney say this and be believable?
He can.
He should.
Well, would he be believable?
Yeah, you know, maybe he'd be over 26% sometime.
No, it wouldn't ring true because it's not him.
Well, I don't
say that critically.
No,
I only say that as
that's
who he is. There's lots of things Romney can't say.
I believe that Romney. Let me put it to you this way. I think that Romney could say it, and I think that he could mean it, and I think it would come off as insincere.
Because it's not
but
his
whereas
instinct.
It doesn't come off,
and where
it's not
Romney,
his, it doesn't come off insincere when he says that Anne, his wife, drives two Cadillacs.
I will say this about that
believable.
Statement. I want to say this. If you're running in Michigan and you say your wife drives two Cadillacs, you're doing very well. That's yeah. That is not the wrong thing to say in Michigan. Michigan people like to hear that somebody's spouse is driving two different cars.
Yeah, but again, you would expect him to say, "My wife drives a Mercedes and us, you know, something
else." That you do not say in Michigan. Right. That's the dumb thing to say in Michigan.
But again, the national news media today on the Sunday shows, all pointed that as another example of Mitt Romney being out of touch. You're not out of touch in suburban Detroit, if you say you got two Cadillacs.
Amen. I want to say, as someone who was raised a Democrat, I want to say I think the fact that Barack Obama is as arrogant and snobbish as he is, it shows conclusively, not that we needed another illustration, just how far the Democratic Party has wandered.
It's true.
From its roots.
I had an email exchange this week with a local labor leader. It was on something else. It was just, and I just told him a story of my roots. I come from a Democratic family. I remember walking door to door collecting dollars for Democrats. I remember going to the sports arena in Los Angeles and attending Kennedy's address when he accepted the nomination, and somewhere I got to find it. Somewhere there's a movie of Kennedy and Johnson pulling into the sports arena, and there was some guy singing "Marching to Washington" with Kennedy or something like that, and a kid ran out on the field and shook John F. Kennedy's hand. That was me. That's the family I come from. I was a member of IAM Lodge 727 in Burbank, California. I had my little blue dues book
machinist.
With the yellow stick. I was a union member. I came from a union blue-collar factory working background. My first job was working at Lockheed Aircraft in California as a union member on the floor, a tool dispatcher. I come from that background. That party left me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That is exactly what happened
identify, to me. I identify with blue-collar working
outside
people.
Outside of Chicago, man.
Yeah, that's who I identify with.
Outside Chicago.
I'm the only one that was raised by a Republican.
You're
the only elitist
Democrats.
Republican here.
Wow. Can you imagine playing today a Humphrey speech? There's never been a speech by Hubert Humphrey in which he did not refer to the Almighty within the first 2 minutes and in the middle and at the end.
Oh,
and
go
if
down
you
to
played that speech today, half the Democratic Party that loves Barack Obama would say, "Oh, this is horrible. We really
you'd
we have to do it."
Also, but
you'd be an extremist.
Go down to
no, but you play a Barry Goldwater speech, and there are people that would judge that as anti-intellectual.
Go down to Pekin, Illinois, and the museum down there to Everett Dirksen.
Right,
I haven't been there in years, but they used to be able to punch buttons on the wall, and it was his voice. And you punch button after button. It was all about God.
Yeah.
Talking about God.
By the way, let us take a moment here to take a look at some of the polls that are coming up in the states that will vote this coming Tuesday in the state of Arizona, where Jan Brewer today on Meet the Press, she endorsed Mitt Romney as her choice in the primary. Again, looking at the polls there, Mitt Romney, these are real clear politics average. Romney at 39.5, Santorum at 28.8, Newt Gingrich at 16.3, Ron Paul a distant fourth at 8.3. In the state of Michigan, where last week we were talking about the possibility that Mitt Romney might lose his home state, it's still Nick and Tuck there.
Nick and Tup?
Nip and Tuck. It's Mitt and Tup.
it's
really Mitt and Rick in that state. And it's a Romney at 36.8, Santorum 34.8, certainly within the margin of error. Ron Paul at 11.3, Newt at 8.3. And again, last week, Rick Albin, a political reporter from Michigan, said that the surge then was to Santorum. So the question will be whether or not he can hang on.
The debate didn't do Santorum any favors. I think the debate slowed.
His worst debate.
Well, there were some early. I mean, we're now on 21 or whatever. But there were some debates in there when Santorum really didn't register at all. But since he was prominent, this was not a time for him to be defending earmarks in the 1990s. This was not a time for him to be stuck with. And how he came up
it was
with
also,
the formulation,
also, it was
I
not,
voted
it was
against
not,
my principles.
That was just awful.
I took one for the team.
And then defended Arlen
Specter.
And then defended Arlen Specter.
Well, this is an example of a candidate coming to prominence. In the early debates, he was always in the background, got very little speaking time.
You know,
he was bottom of the barrel. Now he's at the top, and he's having his shot now. And it's unfortunately he didn't get the experience in earlier ones of making faux right. pas like this.
Right.
He won't do it again, but unfortunately it's
but
come
what
up
about,
the wrong
what
time.
Do you think of his suggestion that somehow Ron Paul and Romney have some sort of a handshake that Ron Paul
I think it's pretty evident.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch, yeah, I think it's brutally evident when you watch these debates. And when Paul is running his ads, when he's not even in the state, just in this the last election, he was out of state campaigning. Another one, still running personal attacks on Santorum.
I'll tell you, I accuse them of having an entente cordiale.
We will
That's
let you
not
explain
a downtown Chicago elitist.
That is a real elitist
is.
Thing.
I'm going back to the.
When we come back, we're
going
to look ahead 2 weeks to the Buckeye State in Ohio, and we're going to be talking to the Attorney General Mike DeWine when we come back from Chicago. Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thanks very much for being with us. We've looked at Arizona. We've looked at Michigan. Let's take a look at the polls in the state of Ohio right now. These are real clear average poll, real clear politics average polls. They now show Santorum in the lead at 33 1/3%, Mitt Romney 26%, Newt Gingrich 19.7%, and Ron Paul 10%. Joining us now from the great state of Ohio is the Attorney General of that state, Mike DeWine. General DeWine, nice to have you with us tonight on Beyond the Beltway.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Also should mention, obviously, a two-term United States Senator, former Lieutenant Governor, member of the House of Representatives for many, many years, and one of the legendary names, at least in recent Republican presidential politics. General DeWine, once upon a time, you supported Mitt Romney, and you have switched to Rick Santorum. What caused you to make that switch?
I guess the quick answer is the campaign. Maybe the long answer is, you know, Rick has been my friend for many, many years, but when this campaign started, I didn't think he had any chance. You know, he was at 2% in the polls. He had no money. And I guess I sort of bought into the conventional wisdom that Romney would be the strongest candidate in the fall. I no longer believe that. I was wrong. I think the campaign has shown that Governor Romney is not going to be a strong candidate in the fall. And what I'm seeing in Ohio, and have been seeing it for weeks, months really, is people catching a glimpse of the debate, seeing Rick Santorum. And, you know, it started a few months ago. People would come up to me and say, you know, I watched that debate last night, whichever one it was. You know, watched the debate last night, and that Santorum guy, I liked him. He seemed like he just kind of a straight shooter. He was just kind of saying what he thought. And, you know, it's people just like him. They like the fact that he is open, honest, a likable guy. I've watched him now on the stump here in Ohio for 3 days. He's coming back again Tuesday. And unbelievable connection. You know, I haven't seen this for a long, long time.
Is there any way, because obviously you have described as you have seen him grow in the campaign. What would you describe that you've been seeing with Romney? Has there been any growth with him?
I think he would be a fine president, and I know he's a good man, but I'm just afraid he's tone deaf. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, Cadillacs the other day. I mean, I understand what he was trying to say, but it just, he's not connecting to the average person. I mean, I was over with Rick in the eastern part of the state in Jefferson County, Steubenville, which is historically, I mean, really historically a Democrat county, but it's fairly socially conservative. It's got a lot of what we used to call Reagan Democrats. He was really connecting over there last week, and he will run exceedingly well with people who are conservative socially or moderately conservative, but they're Democrats, blue-collar workers. Rick has a real opportunity, I think, to take a lot of those votes away from Obama in the fall. And candidly, I just don't know that Governor Romney does.
So when you look at, and which is a point that he's made in the debates, I think it's one of the strongest political points when he's talked about, you know, his roots in western Pennsylvania, which are very much like eastern Ohio and large portions of Michigan and Wisconsin, that he has that ability to connect with blue-collar voters and if you don't win two or three of those states, you're not going to be the president.
And you're not going to win those states, candidly, without getting the blue-collar voters. I mean, we can, you know, I'm familiar, obviously, most with Ohio, and I can tell you that, you know, for a Republican to win in Ohio, you have to be getting some of those votes, and you just can't just write them off. It's just not going to work in Ohio.
Chris Roebling has a question for you.
General DeWine, I want to ask, I want to pick up on a Friday column by Dorothy Rabinowitz in the Wall Street Journal. I think others sort of in Washington and others with a national viewpoint have expressed that maybe the biggest challenge for Rick Santorum is reconciling his very sincerely and very strongly held religious beliefs with his role in public. And Dorothy Rabinowitz was taking sort of exception with Santorum's ability to distinguish between his personal religious beliefs and his actions as a public official. Now, how do you assess that concern?
Well, I watched him for 12 years in the U.S. Senate. We served together in the Senate. I don't think he has a problem doing that. And let's take one example that's been so much in the news, and that is what Rick considers and I consider the issue of religious liberty and the Obama administration's regulations in regard to health care. Rick has made it very clear, and I've heard him on the stump say, look, I have my own personal beliefs in regard to birth control, my wife and I do, and what we do, but there's no way in the world I'm going to impose that on anyone. And then he segues, this issue is not about, you know, it's not about birth control. This is a religious liberty issue that should concern every American, no matter what their position is on that. So I think, with all due respect, what has happened is, and I've watched it on these Sunday talk shows particularly, and all they want to talk about is that issue. And I've listened to Rick, and he talks about that the fact that a person in public office, their ethics, their background, their morality, their religion, clearly is going to inform some of how they approach things and how they look at things. Mm-hmm. But there clearly is a line, and I think when Rick was talking about the birth control issue, it was something he feels strongly about as a person, as an individual, but in government, his position would certainly be, not to.
Mr. DeWine, let me ask one other question. Again, you have a tremendous record of success running in the state of Ohio. But a lot of people who watched the debate the other night, they might have cringed when, at least on a couple of occasions, Rick Santorum basically said that he had to sort of take one for the team, even though his principle might have led him in another direction. Explain to, again, voters who are not necessarily involved in the politics, what happens to someone when they slide into leadership in the United States Senate because they are forced to do things that they may not really like, but at this moment in time, a lot of average voters, they don't buy that excuse.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's easy for us just to look back X number of years ago and look, for example, and I think the issue that they were talking about, I think, was No Child Left Behind.
Yes.
And Rick had voted for that. I mean, it's pretty easy to now look back and say, well, that was well-intended, but really that's some problems. But to go back to the scene, you had the Republican president of the United States who had been elected leader of the country as well as leader of the party. He was for it. A huge number of people were for it. Everyone knew that education is the huge challenge for us in this country. And so, you know, when you look back now and you see all the problems that have been connected with it, and reasonable people can say, well, gee, that was, you know, that you shouldn't have voted for that. And Rick Santorum, to his credit, says, I would not have voted for that today. I made a mistake. And so, you know, take one for the team. You know, maybe that's not the best choice of words. I don't know. But it was a different situation back then. But I will tell you what really matters, and that is inside the caucus, inside the Republican conference, and we would meet, you know, 2-3 times a week. It was Rick Santorum who was out there pounding away for the conservative point of view. And when we strayed, or the caucus began to stray from that for any number of reasons, Rick was the conscience of that group. And he was the one, before he was in leadership and after he was in leadership, who would say, look, that's not what our core beliefs are. That's not what our core values. This may be sound good, but it's not the right thing to do. So what people don't see, and there's no way for people to know that unless you were one of the, you know, senators in that room to hear that, but that's who he is. I you know, one of the reasons I support him is I know the guy. I know him very, very well. I know what his core values are. I know what his core beliefs are. And the candidates running, if you compare him with Governor Romney, you know, Rick Santorum has not really deviated. I mean, he's got core basic values that he came to the U.S. House of Representatives with, then went to the Senate, and I don't think they've ever really fundamentally changed at all.
Tim
Facts
Carlitis
may change, or issues may change, but I haven't seen those values change at all, whether it is pro-life, pro-gun, fighting against entitlements. I mean, you talk about a conservative issue. If we really want to worry about the deficit, Rick understands that entitlements is what's, you know, eating us alive.
Tim Carlitis is our Tea Party guest here this evening. He's got a question for you, General.
Sure. Hi, General DeWine. I was interested to hear how his manufacturing reinvestment message is playing in states like Ohio with maybe a traditional Democratic blue-collar voter. Is that message getting traction? I mean, are you seeing people that would be considered crossover votes there?
I think when we look at the last, you know, week to go in this campaign, I think, you know, that has to be continued to be emphasized by Rick, because if you look at his platform, it's a really solid pro-manufacturing platform. And I think he's helped by coming from Pennsylvania. A lot of the same issues that we have in Ohio, they have in Pennsylvania. But if you look at his, you know, for example, the proposal of no tax on manufacturing, that's a pretty tough stance. But manufacturing jobs are really, really important. I think it makes a lot of sense.
General, we are out of time on that particular point. I thank you very much for being with us. General Mike DeWine of the great state of Ohio, former United States Senator and member of the House there. And again, we hope that the next time that we are in the Buckeye State at WKBN in Youngstown, you'll stop by and we'll meet face to face. But thanks for being with us tonight on Beyond the Beltway. Bruce Dumont back at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. And if you're listening to us in Chicago and you are one of those Chicagoans that likes to vote early, I can report that the Museum of Broadcast Communications at 360 North State, we are one of the early voting places, and you can vote amongst the Bozo drums and the Kennedy Nixon cameras. And again, the early voting starts on Monday at 8 a.m., and it'll run through, I believe, the 16th of March. And the museum will be open, so you can come and early vote. And
Bruce, how often can I come
museum.
And vote?
Right. You can only come once.
This is
called early voting, not often voting.
Right. Can I come up here and vote, too?
No, because you're not from Cook County.
I thought I could. I thought it
worked. You're getting all persnickety
on us.
I'm going
to be there checking everybody.
Do we put our ballot in the Bozo drum that we shake?
I want to know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an idea.
There you go.
They vote. We go in there, and then they can play the grand prize game.
That's right.
Anyway, early voting for anyone listening in the Chicagoland area, if that's something that you do. And really, it's quite in vogue to vote early these days.
Yes.
And so, again, one place, there are many, there's actually a place in every ward. But if you are in the downtown area, you come to 360 North State starting tomorrow at 8 a.m., and you can vote early. Speaking of voting, let's take a look at where the Real Clear Politics polls assess the national race in the Republican primary at the moment. They have Rick Santorum in first place at 32.9%, Mitt Romney at 29%, Newt Gingrich 14.4%, and Ron Paul at 12-4. And in the all-important race for delegates, with 1,144 being the magic number, Mitt Romney now at 99, Santorum 47, Newt Gingrich 32, and Ron Paul at 20.
You know, it just hasn't changed. I mean, there is you look at Mitt Romney, and he has the advantage of having run before, which is a huge advantage, especially the party out of power.
Right.
And everybody knows him. And he's had all this time to get his point across.
Still no
and he's
traction.
Having all there is a ceiling on that guy of about 32%.
I saw a great commentary just watching some Larry Kudlow shows on the internet this afternoon, just, you know, trying to get boned up for that thing tonight. I saw a great commentary. One of the people on the Kudlow show, one of the political guys, said, you know, you think of all these politicians, and when you think of Mitt Romney, that everybody knows. I mean, this guy's been campaigning for national office now for, what, 8 years?
Yeah.
National name ID. When you think of Mitt Romney, what do you think of?
Bain Capital.
But, I mean, what do you think
of? The Olympics.
What do you think of, Bruce? What words come to mind when you think of Mitt Romney?
Sharp dresser.
Success.
Sharp dresser.
Rich,
good.
Rich guy.
Well, yeah. Looks
guy.
Businessman.
Successful.
Yeah.
Real successful.
Rich and successful.
Rich and successful.
Which, to me, is not a bad thing.
No.
Yeah, but it doesn't give the nation, what's the word I'm looking for, a vision. What's this man's vision for this country? After all these years of campaigning, nobody can say, what's Mitt Romney's vision for this country? Well, he's a businessman. He's going to run it well. Huh?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what's behind Santorum consolidating.
Yeah.
I don't know that Newt Gingrich will make it. You know, we haven't talked about the campaign schedule, but Newt Gingrich is trying, like, he's crossing his fingers, he's trying like crazy to get to Super Tuesday on the theory that, as a former congressperson from Georgia, he'll do well in the South, which may or may not prove up.
Georgia and Tennessee are big for him.
Big for him. But I don't know if he can make it that far. Possibly he can, but I think that the coalescing of support behind Santorum speaks not only to his sincerity and his traction, but to the fact that there is a fundamental dis-ease or unease with Romney in the Republican base.
But I also think that, and I've said this before, I think maybe with a possible exception of Barry Goldwater in 1964, the national news media has disrespected Mitt Romney from day one.
Oh, yeah.
He has been, you know, the fact that he looks good and talks good and has money, it has been used as a club against him. He'll make a comment about, you know, whether it's the Cadillac issue. Again, could he have used his words better? Yes. Is he a decent, honest man?
Of course.
I think he's a decent, honest man.
Sure he
man.
Is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure he is. A very capable
But again,
guy.
He's not, I mean, he's, it's just, you know, there's always... It's always there's always something that the news media will point to.
But these are the reasons.
But you're right. He's not connecting.
These are the reasons that I believe he could potentially be a very weak general election candidate, because how does he connect to people? You know, it's my wife drives two Cadillacs. I like to fire people. Now, if you heard the whole context of what he said in the I like to fire people, you understand what he was saying. He was talking about firing insurance companies that don't do a good job. But it's he doesn't connect with real people.
I think he's getting a little rattled. I know somebody mentioned here earlier that Santorum didn't fare well in this last debate, but I can tell you he's you know, there's something that's not attractive to a guy that's talking fast and trying to get his, you know, and he thinks he gets a one-liner and then he sits back and waits.
You're talking about Romney or Santorum?
Yeah, I'm talking about Romney.
He has a look of desperation.
Exactly.
Now, which again, now granted, the polls in the last week, they seem to be shifting back, you know, in Arizona and Michigan towards Romney, but again, I think should there be an upset in Michigan, and it is certainly within the margin of error, if there's an upset, I mean, that's a big loss for Romney.
I think Romney, you can't not say, especially this year of all years, that it would be, quote, the end, but it is a very serious blow to the Romney proposition if he loses in Michigan, and if he ends up with two losses on the coming day, the way he had the three losses the last time, you're looking at a very serious problem.
And you also have, again, the national news media. They are cheerleading. They want Chris Christie or somebody else in this race.
Yeah.
This race.
Well, they want disarray on the right.
They want the convention. They want the convention up for grabs.
Right.
Yeah.
They want no. But my point is, you're probably saying they want it because they want to reelect Obama. That may be true. I think they want it because it's a good story. They want a better story and they're cheerleading, and every that's why every story. There's been more discussions about the Republicans looking for
right.
you know another candidate this past week. I mean, the point is they're not giving Romney, in my view, they're not giving him his fair shake. By the way, on that note, we're out of time for hour number one of our broadcast. If you're listening and watching us, listening to us on radio, if you're watching us on television, we'll see you next week. But in the next hour, we're going to stop by Ohio again, and we're going to find out from the Romney leader in the area, and also we'll hear from the Gingrich leader in Ohio about what's happening in the Buckeye State. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight. Stick around for another full hour if you are listening to us on radio. If you're watching us on TV, see you next week. Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with hour number two of Beyond the Beltway. Tonight featuring commentary by Chris Roebling, Lee Newcomb, Tim Krilaitis of the Tea Party, and representing the great state of Ohio, we will hear from Dave Johnson, Republican County Chairman of Columbiana County, and Dave Price, who will be a big supporter of Newt Gingrich for President of the United States in the Republican primary coming up in a couple of weeks. They are part of the Super Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday. It'll be Super Tuesday, and Ohio is one of those big prizes that is out there. And we are joined by Dave Johnson at this particular moment. And Dave has been a longtime guest on this program whenever we've done the show live from WKBN in Youngstown, where we had planned to be tonight before the snows in Chicago shut me down and didn't allow me to get to the great state of Ohio. So, Dave, nice to have you with us tonight.
Thank you, Bruce. Great to hear your voice again.
You have perhaps heard in the last half hour when we had Mike DeWine on, who had made a switch from being a supporter of Romney to now an enthusiastic supporter of Rick Santorum, explain his reasons why he defected, basically saying because he didn't think that Romney would be able to have maybe the what it needs to carry the state of Ohio. What's your reaction to that assessment, and why are you for Mitt Romney for the Republican nomination?
Well, I look at it a little differently than Mike DeWine, who's a good friend of mine and is a great official of this state. But I frankly look at it as seeing Mitt Romney as the only possibility we have of winning in the fall. And I look at his executive experience. Number one, as one of the most successful businessmen in this country, somebody that has created tens of thousands of jobs, somebody that was a successful governor of a very liberal state. Much has been made about, you know, Romney Care, but if you really look at the record at what he did, that Romney Care is nothing like Obamacare. And I look at what he did in the Olympics. All the stature that I think he would bring to the party is what has led me to be a supporter of Romney.
One
and a delegate for him, actually, out here in Ohio.
Right. One of the things that he alluded to, and it's certainly something that Santorum has articulated in the debates as well, and I want to get your sense on this.
Okay.
You come from a very Republican county, one of the most Republican counties in the state. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't say one of the most Republican. It leans Republican, but it's a bellwether county. Frankly, we did carry for McCain in the last cycle, but prior to that, Clinton, has won in this county. So it can go both ways.
But in the discussion that we had with General DeWine, the point was that Rick Santorum from where he came from politically in western Pennsylvania, being
right.
able to win congressional races there, being able to win statewide there, he has demonstrated an ability to get some independents and some conservative Democrats, former Reagan Democrats, whatever we want to call them,
right.
Over that might normally go Democratic. What is it that you feel that Mitt Romney has that would allow him to pull over independents and some of those blue-collar Democrats in the battle for Ohio, which a Republican must have if they want to make it to the White House?
Well, frankly, my concern is that Rick Santorum lost in the last election by 18 points. And he got clobbered in almost every part of Pennsylvania by every sector, women and you know, every sector you look at. So, I mean, my concern is that he didn't carry this part of the country and that he wouldn't. I think he's so caught up on talking about contraceptives and all these religious issues when the country is in real trouble economically. And you look at the not only the unemployment rate, because there are a lot of people that aren't even being counted now. They've quit looking for jobs. This economy is in one heck of a shape where I'm from.
Lee Newcomb is with us in the studio. He's got a question for you, Dave, or a comment.
Mr. Johnson, I'm a longtime Republican Party activist in Illinois statewide, and I am a countywide elected official.
Yes,
I don't know you, so I don't know what kind of person you are. I'm just reacting to what you're saying tonight on the air, which
right.
I find to be incredibly disturbing.
Okay.
The only possibility of winning in the fall is Romney, a man who has been running nationally for years and years and years and has no ability apparently to connect with enough voters to be obviously the leading nominee. You said Obamacare is nothing like what Romney put in, and that is manifestly, provably not a true statement. The Romney Care program in Massachusetts was the program that became Obamacare. They are very, very substantially identical. You said that Santorum lost by 18%. That's true, but you didn't analyze the reason that he lost by that in a particularly difficult year, in a particularly difficult stand that he had taken on Social Security, which had been used against him. He supported the Bush administration in that. And finally, when you just went after him, the most despicable thing you just said was the statement you made about he's on all these religious issues. The media may be on the religious issues, but he has not been. And I think it is despicable for you as a Republican county official to go after him like that, as if he's some kind of wacko on the right.
He is. He has brought it up.
Well, Rick, what you need to understand
is that I'm not a career politician. I happen to be the CEO of a 100-year-old family company.
Well, you talk like one.
And I don't need to be lectured by you on what is despicable and what isn't about saying something positive about Romney.
Well, I'm going to support Romney. I like Romney, and I'm going to support him if he's the nominee. I'm not going to go after him like you've gone after Santorum.
Let's let him respond. Go ahead, Dave.
So I would merely say that if we're talking about conservative on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 10. I would be a Reagan Goldwater conservative.
Okay, well, Dave.
But I'm also, from a practical standpoint, my personal belief is that the best chance we have to win in the fall is with Mitt Romney.
Okay, you're entitled to that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but this is Chris Roebling speaking with you, Dave, and thank you for taking time to join us. My question for you is sort of maybe the other side of what Lee was just bringing up. With all of the strengths that you mentioned for Mitt Romney, who I'm going to support 110% if he's the nominee of the party.
Me too.
If Santorum is the nominee, I'll be supporting him.
Okay. I want to ask you, how come Romney, at this point after running for 6 years, doesn't seem to be able to break 30 or 32% support?
Well, we've had Gingrich for a while. We've had Perry for a while. Now Santorum is the latest challenger. And, you know, the party is divided. There's no question about it. There's a wing of the, I would say, a lot of the Tea Party conservatives that are not comfortable with Romney, and they're particularly over the health care issue, and that's understandable. I have reservations about his policy on health care in Massachusetts, but I would note that his instincts were to have a program that was either going to be as conservative as it could be. The legislature in Massachusetts it was 85% Democrat.
Dave, let me jump in for just a second. Can you stick with us for another segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, Dave Johnson joins us from Columbiana County in Ohio. I'm Bruce Dumont. We'll continue with your calls. 1-800-723-8289. From Columbiana County to Franklin County in the great state of Ohio, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. I'm Bruce Dumont. Dave Johnson, who's the Republican chairman of Columbiana County, joins us from Hanover Town, Ohio, which is just outside of Youngstown. And also he runs the Spread Eagle Inn, which is one of the great resort inns, bed and breakfast, terrific place, great dinner. I was there a few months ago. It was very... very impressed with your longtime business there, Mr. Johnson.
Well, thank you.
You run quite a, but you're also in the tile business as well.
The inn is more or less a hobby. What I do for a real living is dig clay out of the ground and manufacture a ceramic tile.
Well, you have a good business and you have a wonderful hobby as well. Let's go to Eureka, California, where Dave is listening to us on KGOE. He's weighing in and wants to share why he likes Mitt Romney. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Thanks for having me on. And I hope you can – I sent you an email. I hope you find room to get Terry Anderson in your Radio Hall of Fame. He was a fellow talk show radio host.
Okay.
And
we'll look
Mitt
for that.
Mitt Romney's stance on illegal immigration is the one the American people want. And that DeWine, Mike DeWine, his stance was totally opposite of Romney's. When he was in the Senate, he backed this comprehensive immigration reform, which is why I really don't trust Santorum, because he came to California a couple of years ago and endorsed Carly Fiorina, who is another open borders fanatic. I don't understand his logic behind that at all.
So. Did he endorse her in the general or the primary?
For the Senate, he endorsed her in the primary, and... he wanted her to take Barbara Boxer's seat when there would have been no difference as far as immigration goes because she was open borders just like Barbara Boxer.
Dave, how is this issue playing in Columbiana County, illegal immigration?
It's not front and center so much in our county because, again, Bruce, we're more of a rural county, but we do have high unemployment here. We have a lot of old bedrock industries and companies that have shut their doors because of, and frankly, unfair trade. That's an issue that I have with every I don't think anyone is in agreement with me on the trade issues. I think we're going to lose our whole industrial base if we don't address that. Those are issues that are much more important, frankly, than immigration in this county, to be honest with you.
Where is Governor Kasich in this primary race?
Governor Kasich has not committed one way or the other, and it's my understanding that he intends to wait it out for our vote next week. So,
what about other Republican members of the congressional delegation, John Boehner?
You know, most of them are being pretty silent. My congressman is Bill Johnson, who's a new congressman, representing the 6th District of Ohio. And I spoke to Bill just last week, and I think they're going to sit out and wait till March 6th comes around.
What can you tell us, and those listening around the country, what can you tell us about the ad wars that are going on and the nature and the tone of the campaign in the state? And do you agree with at least the Real Clear Politics polls that I quoted at the beginning of the segment that says that Santorum has about a 3-point lead, but it's certainly within the margin of error. Do you see it that close?
It's difficult to tell. We haven't really seen all the negative ads, and I suppose they're going to start in earnest this next week. Nobody likes those, but I think all of us in politics know, unfortunately, they work. And it'll come down to who has the most money and puts a message out that meshes with folks. I think my sense of the Republican establishment, and I know everyone hates that word, but, those are the people that that pound the yard signs and staff the headquarters.
No. David, the establishment in Illinois is a group that hops in bed with the Democrats to slice up the pie when nobody is looking.
I'm talking about Ohio.
I'm the chairman. I've been a chairman for 20 years. I serve on the state committee. I've had every federal and state official at one time or another to this end that Bruce talked about. I mean, I've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for Republican candidates, and I don't apologize for it.
God bless you.
And so, but the people that I talk to, business leaders and people that I respect in politics, are all behind Romney.
Nice.
And I've met Romney. He's been out here. He looks you right in the eyes. I'm very impressed with him. I think he's got a great family. There's so much about Romney that I like, and it's not to say I don't like Santorum. Newt Gingrich has been a friend of mine for years. Sure. Has come to our inn.
Well, Dave, Dave, let me ask this question as a longtime political leader. You know that there are other people like yourself, whether it's at the county level or statewide level or RNC level, that are looking at this race and they're asking themselves, is this thing, when I say this thing, this the process, is this process about to devour us? Is it about to get to a point where it's so nasty the votes are going to be split? And although Tuesday looks like it might be at this moment, might be a good day for Romney in Arizona and possibly in Ohio where it looks like, or Michigan where it seems to be tighter. And then you get to Super Tuesday. Newt Gingrich obviously has a lot of eggs in the basket for what is likely to happen in his home state of Georgia. He looks to be doing well in Tennessee. And then down the road, you've got Texas, you've got California. There's a lot of big places that could still surprise. And when all these surprises start to pop up, and I think Gingrich's strategy is that a few things are going to pop up on Super Tuesday, you'll get to a point where mathematically nobody's going to get to the magic number. Do you believe that it is wise for people to start thinking and planning for that possibility and thinking of a new candidate who's none of the above that comes in at the last moment? And if it happened, what would be the reaction to those like yourself that worked in the vineyards month in, month out for your guy?
Well, I can tell you, I am so motivated to see that Obama is defeated, that there is not anybody that I could think of. I mean, if Ron Paul were the candidate, I mean, there's a lot about Ron Paul I really like. I don't think he can win, but I will back anybody that's the nominee. I mean, and I think the party will be united. When the time comes, we are facing such challenges in this country. Another 4 years of Obama would be so disastrous for this country that I couldn't even fathom.
Hear, hear.
Does a loss in Michigan, if it happened, does a loss in Michigan make winning Ohio even much more difficult than it appears to be right now?
Well, it's difficult to say. Michigan's 54 delegates, and you need 1,145 delegates to secure the nomination. Mm-hmm. So Romney can still win without Michigan. I think he's going to pull out in Michigan, though. I really did pull ahead in Michigan. It might be close, but I think he'll win. And I think he'll carry Ohio.
And what is the key issue, if you look to November, and if Romney is the candidate in debating Obama, what is it that is going to be the deciding factor come November in Ohio for you?
Unquestionably, the economy. The national debt, the energy situation in this country. I mean, right now, Obama's EPA has shut down 8 coal-generated utility plants in this state. Just last week, the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio had to meet in an emergency session because AEP, one of the largest utilities in this state, increased the utility rates to companies like mine by 120%.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Dave, we are aware of the energy resources in Ohio, and especially, I guess, in eastern Ohio, there's a lot of this shale petroleum, shale gas.
Oh, yeah.
Shale. And what kind of consideration are you getting out of the Sherrod Brown or whatever that guy's name is and the Obama administration for your oil?
Well, it's funny you should say that. Columbiana County, this little county that I'm from, is literally in the epicenter of this new Utica shale oil find. And it's so vast, as a matter of fact, that the entire board of directors of Chesapeake are expected, I can't tell you when, but are expected to visit this county in the very near future. It's huge. And if Obama had his way, they'd stop it. If Sherrod Brown, who's probably left of Obama, had his way, all the local Democrats in the state legislature that are in Youngstown, an area near me,
yeah,
they're all trying to stop it right now. I mean, these people are insane. They say that this new oil find here could be probably the largest find ever discovered in America.
Lee Newcomb.
I want to apologize for saying that you were despicable a minute ago. You just hit me wrong there with a couple of things you said about Santorum.
Well, I didn't,
but you
didn't
know
mean
what
to.
The things you've been talking about right now, I really identify with, and this is my problem with Romney as a nominee. You're talking about life and death for a lot of this country, and the things
right.
you're saying are right on the money, and we all agree on this. And that's what bothers me about a candidate that just seems to me to not hit the nerve with the people. It worries me about Romney. And I'm with you. I'm going to support him 100%. I think he'd be a good president. But there's a nerve there that I don't think he hits with people.
Dave Johnson.
I'm sympathetic to that. I think he'll get better with time, but I think his instincts are good. And I love his latest call for cutting taxes across the board. These are good things. We're all going to grow to like him much better.
Dave Johnson, listen, thank you very much for being with us tonight. Columbiana County Republican leader, Dave Johnson, supporting
so
Mitt Romney. Again, always good to cheer with you. And to those within the sound of your voice in Youngstown and Elkton and Hanovertown and East Liverpool and all of eastern Ohio, stay right where you are. We're going to hear the Gingrich story when we come back. Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Again, don't forget Tuesday we have the Michigan and Arizona primaries that we'll be focusing, everyone will be focusing on. And tonight, as we were originally scheduled to be in Youngstown, Ohio for the broadcast, we're doing a little leapfrog in our coverage because Ohio is an important state the following Tuesday, which is Super Tuesday, which means next week we'll be able to look at a few other states that are going to be up and voting. And we're focusing now on the Buckeye State. We have heard from Mike DeWine, the Attorney General of Ohio, who supports Rick Santorum. We just heard from Dave Johnson from Columbiana County, who is supporting Mitt Romney. And joining us now from Franklin County is the Republican leader in that county, which is in southeastern Ohio, which includes Columbus. And he is Doug Price. Doug, nice to have you with us on Beyond the Beltway.
How you doing?
We should mention that you were political director for George Voinovich's successful bid for governor of Ohio. You managed his reelection effort in 1994, executive director of the 1992 and 96 Republican presidential campaigns in Ohio. So like those previous guests from the Buckeye State this evening, you know your way around the state. And you are supporting Newt Gingrich. And I mentioned a little while ago that according to the most recent Real Clear Politics poll, Gingrich is pretty far back at 14.4%. So my question to you is, what are the magic things that the former speaker must say to propel him to victory on Super Tuesday in Ohio?
Well, I was able to tune into just a little bit of your previous guest and my old friend Dave Johnson's comments, and I think he hit the nail right on the head, and that is indeed jobs and the economy. I think he has a great story to tell, and he needs to tell it, that being Newt. And, you know, of all these guys, and I like them all, and Dave said that he sees things he likes in all of them. I agree, but Newt Gingrich is one of them, and perhaps the only one that went to Washington, made a difference, balanced the budget, and what did we have after that?
Why did
reform,
Newt
welfare reform, and then the economy took off? I mean, he's got the experience to do that, and I think that message resonates here because one of his partners, perhaps his principal partner, then was our current governor, then chairman of the Budget Committee, John Kasich, although Dave's right, the governor's staying out of things, but the record is here, and I think it resonates.
What does it say, and then we've got other people that want to ask questions, what does it say about Gingrich and his leadership? Back when he really was at the pinnacle of the Republican Party, why is it that so many of his compadres then have not rallied around him now, including, you're right, John Kasich?
I guess you'd have to ask them, but I would say that sometimes on the way to important leadership positions, you've got to step on some toes and make some tough decisions. And, gee, I think just about the hardest thing to do out there is to manage a caucus at the state or federal level, and Newt did it to victory and to some great success, but it's kind of like herding cats. So you'd have to ask some of the members who served with them, the ones that I speak to, including the governor here and others, have very positive things to say about him still, but for their own reasons, they may be staying out of it.
Do you think that the governor might be staying out of it because he sees himself as a potential running mate? At least for Romney. I think he's probably the more likely to be a good running mate for Romney than he might be for Santorum. But is that part of it, your own political future and where you see yourself lying ahead?
I got to tell you, it was my privilege to be part of John Kasich's leadership team here for 3 or 4 years leading up to the election. And trust me, we can believe him at his word when he says all he wanted to do was become governor, roll up his sleeves, and tackle an $8 billion deficit without raising taxes and get the job done. And by gosh, after just a little over a year in office, he has done that. But there's a heck of a lot more to do here in the Buckeye State to turn things around, and that is all that he's focused on right now. And frankly, I think that's the principal reason he's staying out of the presidential stuff thus far, because we've really got our hands full here. But things are coming around at the state level, and he's focusing on that kind of thing.
Chris Roebling is a Republican leader in Illinois, and he has a question for you.
Doug, thanks very much for joining us tonight. Nice to chat with you. Where will Gingrich's new support come from? Where in the Republican primary voters, say in Ohio, is he going to take people from Romney? Is he going to take people from Santorum? Where will his support grow?
Well, that's a very good question. You're a sophisticated political activist. Let's talk practical politics. Buckeye State, circa March 1st, 2012. The fact of the matter is, each of these candidates has had a swell and then an ebb. Right now, Newt's in a bit of an ebb, but he's well known here, and his record is too. And I think he's going to pull some votes out of here. Practically speaking, there are three congressional districts where Rick Santorum's not on the ballot. Perhaps in those areas, we're going to see an opportunity for Newt Gingrich to pull a few votes out of here.
Are they big counties? Are they big counties?
Well, we've got a new congressional district called the Snake on the Lake, and it is a thin, long district that is really the kind of the shoreline of Lake Erie. And then there are two others. One is Youngstown, principally, and then another is much of the southeast Appalachian part of this state. And you've got a lot of conservative voters, certainly in that last district. Frankly, a lot of the conservative Democrats, they won't be participating in the primary, but that's how we win Ohio.
How do you elect your delegates
Democrats
there?
What's that?
How do you elect your delegates there?
We elect them by congressional district and then an at-large proportion as well. And, of course, this is not winner-take-all this time. So what we are thinking and of course, hoping on the Gingrich side, is that we may be able to grab a few districts in those congressional districts where Rick Santorum is not on the ballot.
So and Democrats cannot vote in a Republican primary?
They quote-unquote cannot vote, although, strictly speaking, they can profess at the ballot that they have changed their stripes and are now a Republican. And that really doesn't happen here, certainly not at the state level. Occasionally, folks get into a little ballot local elections, and we see some kind of that shenanigans going on, but there's no indication that that's happening right now.
Because we should say that those shenanigans have been part of the historical voting pattern in Michigan, and there have been some indications that that is going on again in Michigan, where there may be a subterranean push by Democrats to move and vote for Santorum to embarrass Romney in Michigan.
Yeah, Doug, do you have is this also your Ohio primary? Are you having like people to run for the Senate or whatever, you know, county board chairman? Are they all running at this time, or is this just presidential?
Yeah, no, that's true. It is it's a unified primary. Frankly, our wonderful candidate for United States Senate to take on Sherrod Brown, the young but quite capable state treasurer, Josh Mandel, he actually has a primary, as do several of our members of Congress. Most of them are minor. The only real tough primaries going on around here are at the state legislative level and in some state central committee seats where the control of the state Republican Party is kind of being debated right now.
Tim Krilaitis is here. He's a Tea Party leader in Illinois. He's got a comment for you.
Hi, Doug. I was just wondering what kind of ground game Gingrich has on the there in Ohio, because I know that, you know, he's lacking in organization, so he has to pick up with grassroots activism, stuff like that. And where he was at his best is when he was addressing or attacking the premise of a lot of what the media was doing. And, how, you know, what are you seeing on the ground there in Ohio?
Frankly, not a heck of a lot in anybody's camp. Really? I think it's true here, as it is just about across the country, that the conventional wisdom was that Mitt Romney was going to pull away with this thing early. And so what you have is more elected and party officials who endorsed Romney early on. That does not translate into a robust ground game per se. And this sprinkling of elected officials and party officials who are with Santorum, Newt Gingrich, and et cetera. So really, I would say Romney has a slight advantage because he's got a little more money, but both Romney and we, the Gingrich operation, have opened facilities and got phone banks and some literature distribution going on. I'm not sure Santorum has gotten to that level yet or not.
Is Gingrich in all of the congressional districts on the ballot?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
How many CDs do you have in Ohio?
We are now down to 16 districts. We're one of those states that lost two congressional seats. You know, Ohio is still the seventh largest state in the union, so it's still very important electorally, certainly at the federal level. But we are down two CDs, and you caught me flat-footed. I think maybe we have 66 delegates.
You mentioned that Kasich, the incumbent governor, has not made a choice here. I mentioned in the introduction you've been very close to George Voinovich, another one of the legendary names in Ohio Republican politics. Has he chosen a horse in this race?
That's a good question. I think perhaps he came out for Romney, but I can't swear to it. George Voinovich was quite helpful to Rob Portman's election to the United States Senate a year ago, and Rob is way out front for Romney. So I will tell you, I've heard John Kasich say nice things about Santorum, nice things about Gingrich, nice things about all of them. He's known most of these folks for many years, so that's a good thing. Again, harkening back to what Dave Johnson said, whoever our nominee is, I'm not terribly concerned at this point in Ohio that we don't have the decision yet made. There's plenty of time for us to rally the troops and focus through the summer and then get out after the convention and get that enthusiasm up where we need it to be.
Doug Price is joining us. 1-800-723-8289 is the telephone number. Back shortly with more Political Talk.
Ooh.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Our telephone number, 1-800-723-8029. This is our last segment. If you want to hop on the line, 1-800-723-8029. We're joined by Doug Price. He joins us from Franklin County, which is in southeastern Ohio and includes much of Columbus, Ohio. He's been the chairman of the party there since 2004, and he helped George Voinovich in his successful bid for governor of Ohio and ran the presidential campaigns in 92 and 96. And he is supporting Newt Gingrich. Did you support Gingrich early?
Yes. Well, going back into maybe the late summer of last year, when we were discussing the future and who would be a delegate, I am a candidate for the delegate to the convention on the Gingrich team. So I would say yes, if that's early, about a year ago.
What has been the reaction? I mentioned in the introduction of Attorney General DeWine earlier in the broadcast, he initially was supporting Romney, and then a couple of weeks ago he switched to Santorum. It got some big play, at least in the political blogs. How did that switch play in Ohio?
Well, I think it got some attention. Mike DeWine's been a familiar, comfortable figure in Ohio for many, many years. Indeed, he ran for lieutenant governor in the race that where I was political director back in 1990. Mm-hmm. The Voinovich-DeWine team went on to two successful terms in the United States Senate. He's now our attorney general. So he's a recognized leader here. And by the way, he's my speaker at our Lincoln Day dinner coming up.
Okay.
This week, where I think Newt Gingrich's daughter is going to be there, too. So we'll see some competing perspectives from those folks. It got some attention. Look, I think even Mike DeWine would agree probably endorsements are helpful, but they're not terribly important. What's important is the candidates themselves getting out and getting their messages to the people.
Yeah, what do you think the message needs to be from Newt Gingrich? This sort of follows up on a question that Chris Roebling asked in our last segment, because people, I assume that many of the people who are going to be voting in this primary, many of them have watched the 20-plus debates that are out there. They will probably say, as most I think would suggest, that Newt, with a couple of exceptions, has really shined in most of the debates. He is a smart guy. But again, it's almost the same question we asked about Romney. Why has he not connected? Other than in South Carolina, why has he not connected? And I don't buy that it's just the barrage of negative advertising, which he blames. What's your answer to that?
Well, some of it is the money and the advertising. Some of it is reminding folks who Newt Gingrich was and is after the so-called baggage that every candidate has. He's got it. Every candidate has it. I think the message that must be gotten out in Ohio is that he has a plan, and he's a guy who has proven to be able to get things done in Washington to help turn America around by being part of and leading a team. We have problems today. They're similar to some that we had 20 years ago. He also has a plan again. So here's a guy who, frankly, has proven that he will go and do and try his darndest to do what he says he's going to try to do. In this case, 21st century contract with America, some bold leadership ideas in there, a plan for day one. He's got to get that message out. We're trying to help him here. We're swimming uphill, as I said earlier. We really got to focus on trying to come out of here with some of the vote and maybe even a handful of delegates, and that'll be a victory, and then on to the South.
And generally speaking, in the national Gingrich people that you speak with, does the subject of what's happening in other states, I mean, obviously, people would expect him to win Georgia, just like people expect Romney to win Michigan, and then Tennessee, he apparently is doing well. Are there any other surprises out there where they think they can maybe have the lead headline on Super Tuesday night?
Well, I talked to those folks, but frankly, we kind of focus on what's going on in Ohio, so it's above my pay grade to guess what's going on in some specific other states, other than I can tell you. The Gingrich following is alive and well in Ohio and will be, despite what happens a week from a Tuesday in our primary, because we plan to be alive and well going into the fall, when it's our plan that Gingrich is is still part of this team. And gosh, we think he's got the leadership ability and the experience, vision for the future that will resonate with Buckeye voters, whether that's going to get us over the top somewhere or anywhere on March 6th, I don't know. But I think if we're back here in the first week of November, he will be the kind of leader that can do awfully well in the fall.
Chris, go ahead.
I've got a question for you, Doug. Sitting here today around March 1st, as you said, what's your take on November? How strong a shot have Republicans got at winning Ohio, bringing it back into the Republican column in the general election?
Well, let me say that because I get asked that. I get asked that a lot, of course. Most governors and most presidents are reelected. And that was my opening line for about 4 years here when I then said, but in this case, we believe we could beat Governor Strickland with John Kasich. And I would say, in this case, on the national scene, that, let me speak for Ohio. This is a conservative state. It's a Democratic-leaning state, but it's a conservative state. We have a lot. We have 29 Appalachian counties with a kind of a Bible Belt bent, even though we've got some big, heavily Democratic cities like Cleveland and Youngstown and Akron, where I'm from. There's also strong religious and ethnic and Catholic strains that still run through. So we can win this state, certainly in federal elections, and we do that. And I'd say we have a good chance in the fall.
Okay, on that note, we are out of time, and that is Doug Price, and he is the Republican chairman of Franklin County, which is southeastern Ohio and Columbus, which is the capital and the largest state, and again, a longtime political operative, and again, he is speaking for Newt Gingrich. That's who he wants to win the Buckeye State a week from Tuesday. Doug, thanks very much for being with us, as well
thanks
as Dave Johnson and Attorney General Mike DeWine, all joining us to give their assessment of what's happening in the state of Ohio. Around the table here in Chicago, Tim Perlitis from the Tea Party, Lee Newcomb and Chris Roebling, they have all been here. Our thanks to Tom Veracruz and Dan Dorfman and Khalil Khalil for their assistance in the production of this program. Until next week, this is First You Want. Good night from Chicago.